God says, hey, I've heard my people cry, my people's cry down in Egypt, and I'm going to send you down there to free them. I want you to go, and I want you to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And of course, I don't have time to tell you the whole story tonight. You know the story. If you've read the book of Exodus, Moses goes back to God and says, you've got the wrong person. I'm not the guy for the job. Pharaoh's not going to listen to me. I had to flee from Egypt when I murdered that Egyptian. The Israelis, your people, my people, are not going to listen to me. They didn't listen to me 40 years ago. You got the wrong guy. You must. And then he finally came to the point. He says, I can't speak very well. A lot of people think Moses stuttered. I don't know if he did or not. But he said, I can't speak well. And God said, well, who do you think made man's mouth? Who do you think made man's tongue? I can help you speak. And Aaron, your brother's a good speaker. I'll talk to you and you talk to him. And the both of you go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And finally Moses said, well, God, why don't you just get somebody else? And here in chapter 4, God says to Moses, he says, hey, what do you got in your hand? And Moses said, oh, I got a rod. It's a stick. It's a tree limb. I use it to pop the sheep when they get out of line, and I use it to help me walk. I'm 80 years old. And God says, well, throw it on the ground. And Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake. And God said, now pick it up. And Moses said, now I know you got the wrong guy. I don't want to pick up this snake. You know, I read that passage of scripture over there in Mark chapter 16, where it talks about handling snakes and how God will protect us. And I thought, and you know, some of these people, they tempt God as part of their services. They handle snakes. Now, you know, I think that scripture is talking about like Paul in Acts chapter. I can't remember the chapter, the last chapter, I think, when he was on that island and they built a fire and he went over and picked some wood up and the snake came out of the wood and bit him and God protected him. He didn't die. I don't think God expects us to go handling snakes. And if that's a requirement, I'd be like Moses. Oh, you must have the wrong guy. I don't want to go over and pick up a snake. But he picked up the snake and it became a rod again. And God said, now look, I want you to go into Egypt. I want my people to know that the Lord thy God hath appeared unto you. And I want you to go free my people. All right, I'm going to need some help tonight. I want to make 5 points, but I'm going to need some help. Hey, Nick, I need you to come up here and help me. And Brother Harold, I need you to come up here and help me. And Dakota, I need you to come up here and help me. All right? You three guys, come right up here. Nick, you sort of sit down right there. And Dakota, you come sit right here, bud. Right here. Okay? Right there. And Brother Harold, you come sit right there. Okay? Come on, man, we ain't got all night. You okay? Okay, here we go. All right, 5 points tonight. And again, we started the book of Esther a week ago, not this past Wednesday, but the Wednesday before, and I've been studying the book of Esther, again, from the perspective of the providence of God, how God works in our lives to set things up, and how he gets us to where he wants us so he can use us the way he wants to. And I've really been blessed by that study, and I'm going to share it some more with you as we go along. But I want you to notice 5 things tonight about Moses, and I'm going to use these three guys to illustrate my point. God had a job that he needed done. He needed somebody to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. He needed somebody to take them out of Egypt. He needed somebody to lead them through the wilderness to get to the promised land. And so 80 years prior to that need, God had a little baby boy born in Egypt that his mom and dad, I don't know what his mom and dad named him, but after he was born and hid for 3 months from the Egyptians, because when Moses was born, the law of the land was, if you were a little boy, you got thrown into the river. You got killed. The little girls could live, but the little boys got killed. And his mom and dad, after hiding for 3 months, they, you know the story, built a basket of bulrushes, tarred it within and without, put the little baby in it, put him in the river, and the princes of Egypt found him, and drew him out of the river. And Miriam, his sister, was there, and she said, would you like me to go get an Israelite lady to nurse the baby for you? And the princess said, yes. And Miriam went back to their house and got her mom, Moses' mom. And the princess says, I want you to go raise this little baby for me, and I'll give you your wages. And the princes of Egypt named that little baby Moses because she drew him out of the water. Now, here's my point. Every single person that's born, and we're going to use these three. We'll start down here with Dakota. All right? How old are you?
Five.
5 years old. Do you know that God has a job someday that he wants Dakota to do? I don't know what it is. I have no idea what the job that God has Dakota to do. But somewhere in the future, God's going to need something done that only this guy can do. Dakota is, what would be the right word? Lively. He's in my Sunday school class. He always wants to stand up. I say, Dakota, you got to sit down. He always gets done with his coloring and says, what's next? What's next? I said, hang on, we'll get to that. But he's my buddy. And again, I don't know how long it's going to be. I don't know if it's when he's going to be a teenager. I don't know if it's when he's going to be 20 or 30 years old. But at some point, God is going to need him to do something. And he'll be the one that God uses to do that. And by the way, that's true of every single one of you. Let's move over here to Mr. Nick. Mr. Nick, how old are you?
29.
Really? Okay, 29. You know, I got to ask to make sure. 29. So he's got 24 years on Dakota. So, again, sometime in the future, and maybe now. I mean, I don't know. I know, you know, he's raising a little boy. He's helping raise two little girls. And he's got a wife that he needs to keep in line. But God, when Nick was born 29 years ago, the same thing was true. God had a job that needed to be done. Now, sometime in the future, I don't know. And Nick was born to do that job. Now, let's move over here to the senior citizen section. Brother Harold, you still awake? Brother Harold, how old are you?
83.
83. Man, I didn't know you was that old.
Oh, yeah.
83.
Older than the hills.
Older than the hills. How long you and Betty been married?
63.
63. Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah,
that's right.
All my life.
All your life, that's right. Now listen. You listen. 83 years ago, God had something he needed to be done. And Brother Harold was born. You might say, well, Brother Daryl, he's 83 years old. Don't you think he's already got done what God made him to do? And you know what? The fact that he's still alive, the fact he's still breathing, tells me that God's not done with him yet. He's still got something for him to do. Now listen, let me tell you. Every single person in this room, you listen to me tonight. If we're not careful, we begin to think, well, I'm nothing special. I'm just one of millions of people that live on this earth. I mean, I wasn't born for any special purpose. I don't have anything that God wants me to accomplish. I'm just going to live my life and go from day to day. I want to tell you something. Don't think like that. Nobody. I don't care who you are. I don't care how discouraged you are. I don't care what kind of circumstances are going on in your life tonight. I want you to know that God had a job that he needed done, and so he had you be born. It wasn't that you were born and God says, okay, I got to figure out something for Brother Jeff to do. Let me see. That's not how it works. He had something in mind for every single person. I don't care if you're 83 years old. God still has something for Brother Harold to do, or he would not be here. Because if he'd already accomplished the purpose, God would take him to heaven. He'd take him home. But the fact that he's still here, God says, I have something for Dakota to... And you know, here's a little kid, 5 years old. Yeah, preacher, I can understand that. 5 years old, he's got his whole life ahead of him. God's got something that he wants him to do. It's a little bit harder for somebody that's 29, but it's really hard for somebody that's 83 years old. But listen to me. It's just as true for Brother Harold as it is for Dakota. God had something to do, and he made them to do it. God had something for you to do, and you were made by God, born to your mom and dad, to do that job. You were not just an accident. You were not just unplanned. Maybe your mom and dad didn't plan for you, but God did. And he brought you together, and he had you be born because he had a purpose and he had a reason. And sometimes we get so discouraged with the things that are going on in our life, we forget that we were made by God. Just like he made the earth and described in Genesis chapter 1, he made you say, oh, no, preacher, I was born. I want to tell you tonight, there's not one little baby conceived and born without God being behind it. Don't you believe the world for a minute? The world says, oh, no, no, no. The men and ladies get together and they just have babies. No, they don't. God is behind every single one of them. And again, I'm not going to go chasing rabbits tonight, but that's why abortion is so wrong. We take into our hands what belongs to God. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard in the past 6 weeks, different people that have said, hey, we may have just killed a little baby that had the cure to cancer. We may have just killed a little baby that one day was going to grow up and find the cure to AIDS. And when we take into our hands what belongs to God, life and death, we sin. We sin. Every single one, listen to me, every single one of you, I don't care how old you are, I don't care what station of life that you are in, you were made by God for a purpose. Number two, I want you to notice, God prepared Moses 40 years in the courts of Pharaoh. He was trained to be a prince. He was trained to be a leader. And then he got sent to the desert to practice what he learned. 40 years to train to be a leader. Trained to lead the mighty Egyptian army. And God said, okay, I want you to go put into practice what you learned. Go take care of a bunch of sheep. Sheep are some of the dumbest animals that the world knows. That's why God compares us to sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. And God said, Moses, I want you to go out there and for 40 years, I want you to take care of those sheep. And God taught him, and then he gave him practice to learn what he learned. So here's Dakota. Do you know that God is preparing him right now for the job that he was made to do? His mom, his grandma, his uncle, his aunt, his other aunt. I don't know about Chantel, do you? No, I don't know either. His Sunday school teacher, his preacher, you are being used of God to prepare this little boy for what God wants him to do. Same thing is true about Brother Nickel there. God's preparing him. You know the struggles you sometimes go through? That's God. Yeah, thanks. You know how it gets tough sometime and you wonder why? Yep. That's God. I'm sure Moses was out in the desert many nights looking over those sheep. Says, why? I trained for 40 years to be a ruler in Egypt. And now I'm out here with these dumb sheep, making sure they don't wander off, making sure they get plenty to eat, making sure they get water, making sure the lions don't get them at night. By the way, what do you have to do to the Israelites? Make sure they didn't wander off. Make sure they had plenty to eat. Make sure they had plenty to drink. Make sure they were protected. Now, God did all that, but he used Moses. And so when those struggles come and those heartaches come, that's God. Because I don't know, his preacher doesn't know what God's going to use him for, but God does. And by the way, his preacher loves him too much to put him through what God would put him through. I couldn't put this little guy through what he needs. But God can. And he does that while he loves us. Because you see, I can't see where Dakota's going. I can't see where Nick is going. But God can. I don't know what God wants Dakota to do, and I don't know what God wants Nick to do. But God can. And every day of his life, every experience in his life, God is using to prepare him. Now, I for sure can't see what God's going to do with Brother Harold.
He's over the hill.
He's over the hill. But you know what? Every day of Brother Harold's life, even at 83 years old, God is preparing him to do what God wants him to do. Brother Harold, if you get to know him, he's had some pretty hard knocks in his life. He'll kid about it, but if you get to sit down and talk to him and realize what he grew up as a little boy and the struggles that he had as a little boy and as a teenager, he didn't have the ideal childhood. Right?
Right.
And yet God used that, used the things that have happened between that boyhood and now to prepare him what he wants him to do. And again, I don't know what that is, but God does. God does. Some of the things he's told me about his life, some of the things that Betty shared with me. Hey, if I was God, I wouldn't have done that to him. But I'm not God. I don't know as much as God knows. I don't know. I can't sit here tonight and say, I think this is what God has made Brother Harold to do. But God knows. And every experience that he had today and every experience he had tomorrow is used by God to prepare him. Now, the same thing is true of each one of you that are sitting here tonight. Say, preacher, I'm old. Are you older than Brother Harold? Most of you are not. I don't know if anybody's older than Brother. Maybe. Reg, how old are you? Oh, he's got you by 4 years. But the rest of you are younger. Now, you listen to me. Your life is not over. Don't give up. Don't go back looking at the plaque and say, that spot's mine. Don't do that. God is not done with you. God has a reason for you to be here, and he's preparing you day by day by day to accomplish that purpose. Number three, God called Moses. He said, he brought him to that bush that didn't go out, that bush that burned, and said, Moses, here's your job. I want you to go, and I want you to let my people, tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Now, when Moses got up that morning, it was just like any other day for the past 40 years. He went out and he did his job. He went out and did what God had told him to do up at that point. Go take care of Jethro's sheep. Go be a shepherd. Go lead those sheep in the desert. Go make sure they have something to eat. Lead them to water. Protect them. You just go. And when Moses got up that morning that he went to the burning bush, it was just like any other day. And God called him that day and said, Moses, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. I want to tell you what I made you to do. There'll come a day in Dakota's life, I don't know when it will be, when God will come to him and say, Dakota, this is what I want you to do. This is what I've prepared you to do. Now, when that day will probably be an ordinary day when it starts out. He won't be doing anything special. He'll be doing what God called him to do. Maybe he'll be older, and maybe he'll be working, and he'll get up, and he'll go to work, and he'll do the things that he thinks God wants him to do. And God will come to him and say, Dakota, and by the way, you know, Moses knew for sure what God wanted him to do. There was no doubt. He argued with God. I don't want to go. Get somebody else to go. And God said, no, you're the one. I want you to go. And in the same way, God will come to Dakota, and God will come to Nick, and God will come to Brother Harold, and God will come to all of you. It'll be an ordinary day. You'll be going about your normal activities of that day, and God will walk into your life, and God in a special way will say, this is it. This is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to accomplish. Now look, I'll say to all the young people here, every little boy, every little girl, every teenager, you keep yourself clean. You keep yourself pure. Don't you get into sin and disqualify yourself from what God wants you to do. God always has a secondary will. God always has something lined up for every one of his children. I don't care how much you've sinned, but I'll tell you what, the first will of God is always better than the second will of God. And the second will of God is already better than the third will of God. So to every teenager, to every little boy, every little girl, and to every parent, let me say this to every parent, you need to have kids like this in Sunday school. Every Sunday. You need to have, well, you got to do it yourself, Nick, but he needs to be in Sunday school every week. Brother Betty, Brother Harold needs to be in Sunday school every week. You listen to me. God uses Sunday school and he uses church to prepare us to do what he wants us to do. And we do ourselves and our children a disservice when we miss Sunday school or when we miss church or when we miss church on Sunday night or when we miss church on Wednesday night. Thank God for people and for parents that realize how important it is for God's people to get together under the preaching of God's word. He'll call us. There will be no mistake. You will know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. This is what God wants me to do. He knows where we live. He knows how to get our attention. Don't you believe for a minute that God doesn't know how to get your attention. He knows how to get your attention just like he got Moses' attention in the desert. Number four, I got to hurry. Number four, God only asked Moses to use what he had. Moses, what's in your hand? A rod? A stick? He says, I want you to take it and I want you to go to Egypt and I want you to free my people. You that know the story know that it was that rod that was used by Moses and Aaron to turn the Nile River to blood. It was that rod that stretched itself over the water in Aaron's hand that brought forth the frogs. It was that rod that smote the dust that brought forth the lice. It was that rod that was raised toward heaven that sent the thunder and the hail and the fire from heaven. It was that rod that was raised over the land of Egypt that brought the locusts. It was that rod that smote the rock of Horeb and brought forth water. So let me just tell you, God is not going to ask Dakota to do something that he can't do. He's not. He's not going to ask Dakota to be something he can't be. He's not going to ask Dakota to use something that he does not have. When God calls Dakota to do what God made Dakota to do, he'll say, Dakota, I've given you this talent, I've given you this ability, here's how I want you to use it. Same thing with Nick. When God gets around to telling Nick what he wants him to do, he's not going to ask Nick to be something he can't. He's not going to ask him to be a rocket scientist. Good thing, right?
Yeah.
Amen. He's not going to ask him to do something that he can't do. He's going to ask him to do something that he was made to do, that God prepared him to do, that God called him to do. With the talents and the abilities that he has. Same thing with Brother Harold. And again, I don't know what God wants Brother Harold to do the rest of his life. But I know this. He will not ask him to do something that Brother Harold cannot do. He will ask him to do something that he has prepared Brother Harold to do all his life. With the abilities and the talents that he has. Number five, Moses got the job done. Took him a while. And it probably didn't go according to Moses' plan. I mean, I think Moses sort of thought, well, I'll just march in there and I'll tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And let God's people go, and he'll just let us go and we'll leave. He didn't know that all the plagues were going to come. He didn't know that he was going to have to keep going back and going back and going back and going back and telling Pharaoh the same message and delivering the message of God over and over and over again. He didn't know that. But he got the job done. God's people came out of Egypt and they were free. I want to tell you something tonight. Whatever God wants Brother Harold to do in the years that he's got left on this earth will get done. It will get done. It will get done. You say, what if Brother Harold's stubborn? He ain't stubborn, is he, Betty? Don't lie in church. You say, what if Brother Harold's stubborn and he won't do what God wants him to do? Well, God will do a couple things. He'll beat him up beside the head until he complies. Or, that was your buddy Day Lynn laughing like that. He'll beat him beside the head like a stubborn donkey to get him to do what God wants him to do. Or he'll get somebody else to do it. Now listen, same thing's true of all of us. God's going to accomplish his will. He will accomplish his will. He will get done what he knows needs to be done. He'll do the same thing for the thing he has Dakota to do. He'll do the same thing he has for Nick to do. He will accomplish his will. How wonderful it is to know what God wants you to do and do it. And do it. We sing that song, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I trust him that he made me for a purpose. I trust him that he prepared me for that purpose. I trust him when he calls that he's got the right guy because God doesn't make any mistakes. I trust him that he's not going to ask me to do something I can't do that I'm not prepared to do, and so I'm going to be obedient. I'm not going to be stubborn. I'm going to say, okay, God, you want me to do it? I'm going to do it. Okay, thanks, guys. You can go back and sit down. Now, God calls you. It may, and again, we may think like Moses. Well, no problem. I can get this done in just a few hours. I can get this done in just a few days. I can get this done in a few months, maybe a year at the most. You listen to me, some of the things that God has called you to do may take years. It may take years. You may have to keep going back and going back and going back. You may have to keep trusting God and trusting God and trusting God. He may have to come to you over and over and over and over again. He wants to use you. That's why he made you. That's why he's brought you to this point in your life. He wants to use you. Say, preacher, how can you say that? I'm old. Listen to me. Listen to me. Moses was 80 years old when he went into Pharaoh. He was 120 when he died, and he still didn't get the people into the promised land. Joshua had to do it in the next few months after Moses passed off the scene. I don't care how old you are tonight. Even Reg is not 120 years old. 97. He's still got 23 more to go before he gets as old as Moses. And you listen to me. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. I don't care where you are in between. The fact that you are still here means that God has made you for a purpose. He's prepared you for that purpose. If he hasn't already, he'll call you to that purpose. He will not ask you to do something you cannot do. He will not ask you to do something he hasn't prepared you to do. And his will get done. And how blessed it would be if you're the one he uses to accomplish that will. So again, I know sometimes in our life we get discouraged. We get to thinking, I'm just, why am I still here? I'd be better off, and I've heard people say this, I'd be better off if I just died. I'd be better off if I just went to heaven. No, 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 no. God has a purpose for you being here. You just keep doing what you're supposed to do, and if he hadn't called you yet, one day he'll get your attention. He knows your address. He knows how to get your attention. And he will make clear his will. Until then, just keep doing what you're supposed to do. Just keep doing what he's given you to do. And when he's ready, he'll call you in a way that you won't miss it. Then you just need to be obedient. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight, for the simple truth that's in this book. And I pray tonight we grab hold of it. Father, I pray tonight.